Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cruel Surrender by Terry Ann Browning. Narrated by Tina Wollstonecroft and Eric Bloomquist. 1. Sienna. The sound of the waves crashing against the beach below lured me out onto the balcony of my suite. Breathing in the humid, salty air, I walked to the stone half-wall, letting the gentle breeze blow the ends of my unbelted silk robe behind me. The guards were in the room to my right, and they didn't have their own balcony facing the beach. Probably a miscalculation on their part, but something I was all too thankful for, as I let the stress of traveling all day slowly release from my shoulders while I enjoyed the view in total peace and quiet. Burnout had hit me hard over the past few months, and I was exhausted, not so much physically as I was mentally. I couldn't possibly have asked for a better family than the one I had, and my job was extremely fulfilling, if emotionally draining at times. New Hope Obstetrics was the leading fertility center in New York. Watching firsthand the struggle some women had to go through just to get pregnant, from their heartbreak when they came in each month and the pregnancy test was once again negative, to the patients who got pregnant with multiples and struggled just to get through their entire pregnancy. Then there were the patients whose babies had birth defects, and they had to make the heartbreaking decision to continue the pregnancy or not. To all of those women, I was just the nurse who merely spent a few minutes with them, taking their vitals and asking how they were feeling. Some of them remembered my name. Some of them called me the pretty red-headed nurse with the bubbly personality. They had no clue that when they got bad news, my heart broke right along with them. Or that I secretly celebrated their victories, even the smallest ones. But with all of the patients I saw on the daily, and the heartbreaks seeming to outnumber the triumphs, I was beginning to dread the sound of my alarm going off every morning. With my gaze on the view of the moon reflecting off the ocean, I pushed all thoughts of work out of my mind. I'd been given 2 weeks to relax at this private island resort, and I wasn't going to waste a single moment of it. I hadn't even known this island existed. It sure as hell hadn't been on the list of vacation spots I'd given Ryan when he'd promised to talk to my dad about letting me have this time to myself. But I'd been so desperate for a break, I hadn't even cared. This small island didn't even have a public airport. The only way on or off it was the guests' own private jets or a helicopter to the nearest larger island that did have an international airport. There was just the hotel, a few boutiques, and 2 restaurants. No nightclubs and no traffic, except for golf carts the staff used to get from one part of the resort property to the other. There weren't even any privately owned homes on the island. The staff all lived in hotel-owned bungalows on the other side of the island. Those who came to this island were looking for peace, but above all, privacy, something they paid generously for. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a light flip on, casting a soft glow on the balcony next door. Curious, I tilted my head slightly, trying to get a glimpse of my neighbor while not appearing obvious. The sound of the door opening reached me, but I stayed motionless, pretending to take in the breathtaking view before me. "Why does it matter where I am?" The sound of his deep Irish brogue caused me to shiver. Holy shit! His voice alone caused an instant reaction to certain parts of my body, and I was glad I'd left my own bedroom light off. I was in only my bra and panties, my robe over them but hanging open, so there would have been no hiding how hard my nipples were right then.
"My current location is of no concern to you."
My sexy-voiced neighbor sounded cold, emotionless. But I was used to men who tried to play it cool and not give their feelings or thoughts away. Typically, when Ryan used that tone with me, he was annoyed.
"It isn't any of your business where I go with or whom I spend my time. if you aren't bleeding or close to death, don't fucking call me again during the next few weeks, Corey.
Out of the side of my eye, I watched as he finally came into view. With a muttered curse, he shoved his phone into his pants pocket. The way he walked pulled my full attention, and I shifted my head, too entranced by his aura to care if I got caught staring. He was dressed in black slacks, his white dress shirt untucked and unbuttoned, showing his hard chest and the deep ridges of his abs. My mouth went dry as I stalked his every move with my eyes. His voice had caused an instant reaction inside me, but the sight of him was possibly more breathtaking than the ocean view I'd been enjoying only moments before. His dark blonde hair was shoulder length and pushed back from his Adonis face. He was tall, but in comparison to my brother's, he was a few inches shorter, possibly 6'1" at the most. But that still meant he had a good 6 inches on me. From the set of his shoulders, I could tell he was tense. He crossed to the stone wall that edged the balcony and placed his hands palm down on the top of it. Leaning forward, he dropped his head, causing his hair to shield his masculinely beautiful face from me. For several long moments, he just stood like that, as if he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he was trying to hide away so no one could see that he was tired of holding it up on his own. Empathy filled me, and I had the oddest urge to climb over my own stone-walled banister, jump the 2 feet that separated our balconies, and hug him. I shifted, taking a step to do just that before I could stop myself. The sound of my movements reached him, and he jerked his head up, his eyes targeting me within a millisecond. The force of his gaze stopped me in my tracks, my breath trapped in my lungs as we stood there just staring at each other. The tension in his shoulders actually eased right before my eyes, and his face cleared as he straightened to his full height.
"My apologies,"
he murmured, his deep voice washing over me like a physical caress.
"I didn't mean to disturb your solitude. I was just
taking a moment to be human," I finished for him when he trailed off. He thrust his hands into his pockets with a dry laugh.
"Something like that, yes."
I leaned back against the stone banister, a smile teasing at my lips. "Your secret is safe with me." His gaze dropped from my face, tracing along my body, and I remembered too late that all I was wearing were the white bra and panties I'd put on after my shower earlier. Goosebumps lifted along my entire body, and I was once again thankful that my bedroom light wasn't on to showcase my body's reaction. But the moon was shining brightly overhead, giving him a glimpse of my near nakedness. I should have hurriedly closed my robe and tightly belted it. Instead, I took my time, liking the feel of his eyes on me way too much. My delicious neighbor cleared his throat once I was covered.
"I'll just leave you to it then."
"But it's such a beautiful night," I stopped him, no longer wanting to be alone. "I don't mind sharing the view." He grimaced.
"I have some work to take care of."
"I don't know about you, but I came here to get away from work," I told him with a huff. "Why would you want to deal with something boring like that when you could enjoy this much beauty for a little longer? Honestly, how often do you get to look at something so gorgeous?"
"Never,"
he rasped, his gaze glued to me as he took a step in my direction. But then he seemed to remember himself and pulled one hand from his pocket, combing his fingers through his thick hair. Turning away, he faced the ocean.
"It's been a decade or so since I got to see a view this enchanting."
"Then stay a little longer," I enticed. "I promise not to disturb you. I was just trying to unwind after a full day of traveling."
"Too late for that, Runeshark,"
he muttered to himself. Surprisingly, a laugh escaped me before I could stop myself. "Did you just call me a rune shark?" I tilted my head, trying to remember the names of all the sharks I knew of. My younger brothers had gone through a phase where they'd been obsessed with sharks, and we'd all been subjected to daily facts about sharks of every type. What is a rune shark? I've never heard of it before. A grunt left him, and he walked to the edge of his balcony closest to mine.
Not a rune shark, he said,
his lips twitching with amusement.
I said a rune shark. It means... It doesn't matter what it means.
Oh. Heat filled my cheeks, and my smile dropped as a feeling of disappointment pressed down on me. I didn't know what he'd just called me, but with the gruff way he'd said it, I had to assume it wasn't flattering. Obviously, he was making fun of me. Well, I'll let you enjoy the view in private.
I thought you were going to unwind.
His voice stopped me as I took a step toward my bedroom. I shrugged without looking at him. For some reason, I was having a difficult time trying to rein in my emotions, and I wanted away from him before I did something even more embarrassing, like cry. I'm tired. Have a good night.
Wait,
he called out just as I reached the double doors that led into my room.
Don't go, please. Did I say something wrong?
My hair flipped over my shoulder as I turned my head to glare at him. I don't appreciate being made fun of or called names. I left guys like that behind in high school. I couldn't tell what color his eyes were, but flames flashed in their depths.
Who made fun of you? What names did they call you? Tell me, who hurt your feelings, McCree?
You did, I snapped, rolling my eyes.
I hurt your feelings?
His face darkened, his brows pulling together in confusion.
What did I say? Fuck, it doesn't matter. I apologize. Don't go inside yet. Stay and allow me to make it up to you. I just ordered a bottle of wine. Share it with me.
You weren't laughing at me? I asked hesitantly. I didn't even know why it had bothered me. I'd dealt with jerks all my life, and none of them had so much as dented my heart, or worse, my pride. Yet one assumed slight from this handsome stranger, and my feelings were all over the place. Apparently, I had needed this vacation a hell of a lot more than I even realized, if I was getting all emotional over nothing.
I would never laugh at you,
he growled, making it seem more like a vow.
Tell me the names of every person who ever dared do so, and I'll make each and every one of them apologize to you. On their knees, if that is what you wish, Arunshark.
What does that mean, then? I lifted a brow when he hesitated. If it's not bad, then just tell me.
It's just a Gaelic term of endearment,
he shrugged.
I used him all the time without thinking.
The way you grit it out makes it seem more insulting than endearing, I grumbled, walking back to where I'd been enjoying the view earlier.
Forgive me.
I guess I'll let it pass this one time, I said, my smile returning. But only if you tell me your name.
You first, beautiful,
he countered. It was my turn to hesitate. For a moment, I wondered if I should give him a fake name, knowing Ryan and my father would prefer it. But for some reason, I wanted this man to know my name, wanted to hear him say it. Sianna.
Sianna,
he repeated, and those damned goosebumps popped up along my entire body once again.
I'm Torin.
I crossed to where he was standing and, leaning forward, offered him my hand. Nice to meet you, Torin. His gaze dropped to my chest, and I realized my robe was gaped open, showing off the tops of my breasts and the edge of my white bra. With obvious effort, he forced his eyes higher, pausing on my lips for a moment before meeting mine. He didn't have to stretch nearly as far as I did, as he took my much smaller hand in his considerably larger one. Flames seemed to engulf my fingers, shooting liquid fire through my palm and up my arm before settling in the pit of my stomach. I bit back a moan at how good his touch felt, not wanting to embarrass myself yet again.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Sianna.
2. Bane. I knew I needed to release her hand, but the thought of letting her go was unacceptable to me. Mine. She was finally standing before me, more beautiful in the flesh than any of the hundreds of pictures I had of her. The first time I had set eyes on her was a framed photo that had sat on her cousin's desk. The joy on her face as she'd smiled into the camera stopped me in my tracks, and it took me more than a full minute to force myself to look away and finish what I'd been there to do. Plant a bug so I could listen to everything that went on in Ryan Vitucci's office. After I'd finished up, I'd taken the picture with me. At the time, I was unsure why I'd given in to the urge, but almost immediately that one little photo hadn't been enough. I wanted to see more of Sianna Donati. I needed to have every one of her smiles staring back at me, her frowns, her tears. And then I needed to know what caused them, so I could recreate the smiles over and over again while destroying anything and anyone who caused the tears. Before I knew what was happening to me, I was obsessed, to the point that I'd even given in when my great-grandmother had come up with this part of her ridiculous plot to hurt Ryan and his family. Sheena was eaten up with rage and a need for vengeance against my distant cousin. And I'd indulged her throughout the years, thinking she would either eventually give up or die before any of her plans came to fruition. But recently her need to see the Vitucci family bleed had gotten out of hand. When she'd told me what she wanted me to do, I should have shut her down and put her in her place. Only she'd said Sianna's name, and my obsession had gotten the better of me. To finally come face to face with the one who haunted my thoughts day and night was too much of a temptation to resist. That didn't mean I was going to follow through with Sheena's stupid scheme. I had my own plan, which had already been set into motion. One that would make the beauty before me mine for eternity. She made a soft humming noise but didn't pull her hand free when I continued to hold on. You mentioned wine. Her head tilted to the right, causing her long dark red hair to fall over her shoulder and my gaze to drop to the tops of her creamy flesh. Feeling like a predator, I ran my tongue over my teeth, wanting to eat her whole. I told them to just bring me a bottle of whatever red they have, but if you prefer white or a rosé, I'll order it. Her brown eyes warmed, and I brushed my thumb over her knuckles.
I'm fine with whatever you have.
Reluctantly, I finally released her and stepped back. Give me a moment. In my room, I grabbed the bottle and two wine glasses. I hesitated, debating only taking one, liking the idea of sharing with her. But I quickly vetoed the thought. I needed to seduce Sianna slowly, although I didn't know how I was going to keep my hands off her for long. From the instant I saw her standing on her balcony, with the moonlight kissing her skin, I'd been so hard it was a wonder my cock hadn't drilled a hole in the stone wall. Returning to her, I poured her a glass, and she waited to take a sip until I had my own in hand. I took a large swallow, then tossed back the rest of the contents when I saw her lick a drop off her lips that had clung to them. "Mmm," she murmured appreciatively. "This is delicious." I poured myself a little more, mentally telling myself to drink it slower so I could spend more time with her. "What brings you to this little slice of paradise?" I asked to make conversation, wanting nothing more than to hear her voice once again. She took a bigger drink before setting down the wine glass. "I just needed a break from everything. It was all getting to be a bit too much." Though she smiled, she couldn't keep the exhaustion and sadness from her face. "What was too much, Mokree?" "There you go again, all gruff with an endearment. It was an endearment this time, right?" "Of course I was gruff. I'd lied earlier when I'd told her that I regularly used endearments with everyone. The truth was, this was the first time I'd ever called anyone anything but their given name. I wasn't the type of person to use cute nicknames. There had never been anything cute or even soft about the way I spoke to anyone in my entire life. Until now. Until her. I was unused to it, yet it came all too naturally with Siana. I would never insult you, Gorgeous, I promised and quickly distracted her. What was too much?
Life,
she said with a sigh. But mostly work. I took another drink from my glass. You don't enjoy your job.
No, I love my job. Being a nurse has always been my dream. No one in my family understood my need to help people in such a personal manner, but they didn't stand in my way when I told them my career choice.
She picked up her glass and finished it. So I filled it. With a smile and thanks, she took another sip before continuing.
It's just that it can be draining at times, seeing all those mothers who struggle every day worrying over their little ones before they're even placed in their arms, or finding out they will never get to hold their child. Watching it day after day, knowing there is little to nothing I can do. It's painful.
Maybe it's time for a change then, I suggested. From what I can gather, you work with pregnant women. She nodded. Perhaps you should find something different. Maybe working in a different kind of medical office. An adorable snort left her.
I wish. But it took a small miracle to talk my parents into working where I currently do. No, I'm happy at New Hope. I just needed a break, which is why I'm here for the next 2 weeks. A little time in the sun to recharge my batteries is all I need.
She tipped her glass back, taking a deep swallow, and I was momentarily entranced by the sight of her throat working.
Wow, this is going down way too easy, she said with a delicate giggle. I should probably stop now.
Nonsense, I admonished, filling her glass yet again. You're here to relax and enjoy yourself.
What brought you to the islands?
She asked after a small, comfortable stretch of silence.
And please don't say work.
I grinned at the sour look on her beautiful face. But how often I'd watched her from a distance, memorized her expression in photo after photo, I knew it was the wine making her an open book. Right then, the thought of anyone working while they were surrounded by paradise annoyed the hell out of her. No. Like you, work was beginning to wear me down. I needed some time away from everything to recharge as well. She shifted her body weight more onto one leg as she placed her elbows on the stone and looked up at me with an empathetic smile. There was no way she could ever possibly know how beautiful she was to me in that moment. With the wine making her cheeks flush and her brown eyes glitter, the moon shone down on her, giving her an ethereal glow, almost as if she weren't from this realm. Her robe slipped off one shoulder, exposing one side of her bra, and a perfection of the globed breast it covered. I memorized every detail about her, knowing it was going to be one of my favorite memories. I didn't have a lot of good things to think about. My life was dark, full of death and destruction. I was the boogeyman who crept through the shadows, wreaking carnage on my enemies. It was what was expected, demanded of me to stay at the top. I had limitless power at my fingertips, yet with Sianna Donati looking up at me, so trusting and understanding, none of that mattered. All I wanted was to be the man she was imagining I was, and love her until my last breath. My phone going off was like a bucket of icy water falling on that fantasy, smoothing out the thin line that separated us from the ruthlessness of reality. Muttering a curse, I pulled my cell from my pocket. Seeing it was Corey, I sent her to voicemail and then did something I'd never done. Powered my phone off. She was starting to piss me off with how annoying she'd been all day. Call after call, she made demands as if she had the right to ask me for anything, let alone tell me what she expected to happen. She thought she was going to be my queen, but her position in my life had never been more than casual. Between her and Sheena, they thought Corey was the perfect woman to help me rule. But all my great-grandmother wanted was someone she could bend and twist in an attempt to better control me. The two of them thought I was blind to their schemes, but I'd been on to them from day one. I simply allowed them to think they were winning, while keeping them both close to better watch their every move. When I glanced at Sianna again, she was standing upright, holding out her empty glass for another refill.
For some reason, I'm oddly proud of you right now.
I poured her more wine and topped off my own, emptying the bottle. The flirty tilt of Sianna's head told me she was tipsy, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't like it. I liked even more that she hadn't attempted to fix her robe, and it was still hanging off one shoulder, giving me a continued view of her bra and her flawless skin. That's the first time I've shut my phone off since I bought it. I confided. With my job, it's paramount that I keep it on, but I find I don't like you annoyed with me. If you insist I focus on relaxing, I won't turn it on for the remainder of my stay. Her smile was more brilliant than the moon overhead.
Oh, I definitely insist.
What are your plans for tomorrow? I dared to ask.
Breakfast in bed, followed by spending the entire day down by the beach. I have a cabana, but I'll probably be soaking up the sun for the most part.
She ran her index finger along the rim of her wine glass.
I would ask you to join me, but I have bodyguards with me and they will narc on me to my parents. Then you'll be subjected to a full background check and endless harassment.
Will the guards be in the cabana with you? I tried to keep my voice neutral, but the thought of two men alone in a private little hut with her made that impossible. She gave me a knowing grin.
Torin, are you jealous of my boring old bodyguards?
I gritted my teeth, wanting her to use my real name instead of the one the world at large knew me by. Thorin Kennedy was the billionaire philanthropist that the world knew and trusted. He stayed private, trying to keep his business deals out of the public eye. Everyone just assumed he was reclusive and wanted to stay out of the spotlight, not wanting recognition for his company that donated millions every year to worthy causes all around the globe. Hell, Thorin had even been considered for a Nobel Peace Prize for all the good he supposedly did. But it was all just part of the image of a man who didn't really exist. Then there was the real me. Bane O'Farrell. Head of the O'Farrell and O'Brien families. Ruthless. Bloodthirsty. The world was familiar with the name, but as far as they knew, they had never seen Bane's face. All they did know was that they should fear the man who seemed like a ghost.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?